Hello and welcome to episode 679 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this evening. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Wednesday, October the 11th, 2023, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Wednesday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain deliverance from hell. My most beloved Lady, I thank thee for having delivered me from hell as many times as I have deserved it by my sins. Miserable creature that I was once condemned to that prison, and perhaps already after the first sin, the sentence would have been put into execution if thou, in thy compassion, hadst not helped me. Thou, without even being asked by me, and only in thy goodness, didst restrain divine justice. And then, conquering my obduracy, thou didst draw me to have confidence in thee. Oh, into how many other sins should I have afterwards fallen, and the dangers in which I have been, hadst not thou, my loving mother, preserved me by the graces which thou didst obtain for me. Ah, my Lady, continue to guard me from hell. For what will thy divine mercy and the favors which thou hast shown me avail me if I am lost? If I did not always love thee, now at least, after God, I love thee above all things. Never allow me to turn my back on thee and on God, who by thy means has granted me so many graces. My most amiable Lady, never allow me to have the misfortune to hate thee and curse thee for all eternity in hell. Wilt thou endure to see a servant of thine who loves thee lost? O Mary, what sayest thou? I shall be lost if I abandon thee, but who can evermore have the heart to leave thee? How can I ever forget the love thou hast borne me? My Lady, since thou hast done so much to save me, complete the work, continue thy aid. Wilt thou help me? But what do I say? If at a time when I live forgetful of thee, thou didst favor me so much, how much more may I not hope for now that I love thee and recommend myself to thee? No, he can never be lost who recommends himself to thee. He alone is lost, who has not recourse to thee. Ah, my mother, leave me not in my own hands, for I should then be lost. Grant that I may always have recourse to thee. Save me, my hope, save me from hell. But in the first place, save me from sin, which alone can condemn me to it. Today, friends, we're going to follow up on the articles we've been reading together from the Fatima Crusader with one entitled The Heresy of Religious Indifferentism. Modern-day ecumenism from the Fatima Center's website located at fatima.org. Editor's note. The most recent issue of the Fatima Crusader, titled Expose the Errors of the 2023 Synod, contains articles from 8 good and faithful priests on the 8 principal errors proposed by the Synod. One of those articles, One Religion or Many, by Father Terry Brennan, addresses the problem of religious indifferentism. The modern-day face of this heresy goes by the name of ecumenism. This article provides additional material in support of Father Brennan's article, and it's written by James Hanisch. He begins by saying, "A man who was a lifelong Protestant once asked the Fatima Center in what ways the Catholic Church's teachings had changed during the past 100-plus years, since the time of the Fatima apparitions. He had come across the stirring 1931 prophecy, in quotes, of Cardinal Eugenio Pacelli, the future Pope Pius XII. Quote, I am worried by the Blessed Virgin's messages to Lucy of Fatima, this persistence of Mary about the dangers which menace the Church as a divine warning against the suicide of altering the faith in her liturgy, her theology, and her soul. A day will come when the civilized world will deny its God, when the Church will doubt as Peter doubted. She will be tempted to believe that man has become God," end quote. It was interesting to me that a Protestant would be so genuinely concerned about the Catholic Church's, quote, suicide as it has unfolded during our lifetimes. It would not surprise me at all to learn that he is a Catholic today. What resonated very clearly to him at the time, and what Pius XII's words expressed so poignantly, is that in fact there can be no such changes. The teachings of Christianity must always be the teachings of Christ himself. Otherwise, there would be no basis to the claim of being Christian. Our Lady of Fatima promised that in Portugal, the dogma of the faith would always be preserved. This in itself is a most dire warning for the rest of the world, a warning that the faith will be lost. What does it mean to lose the faith? Apostasy may be the first thing that comes to mind, particularly since it is reliably known through the testimony of Cardinal Luigi Ciappi that the Third Secret of Fatima warns explicitly about great numbers of the faithful being led into apostasy by churchmen at the highest levels of the hierarchy. But apostasy is the rejection of the entire body of Christian teachings. What would be the effect of abandoning just one dogma of faith, such as the defined truth that outside of the church there is no salvation? St. Thomas answers very concisely that in the obstinate rejection of any single dogmatic teaching, the faith is already lost in its entirety. Quote, "He who adheres to the teaching of the church as to an infallible rule assents to whatever the church teaches. Otherwise, if of the things taught by the church he holds what he chooses to hold and rejects what he chooses to reject, he no longer adheres to the teaching of the church as to an infallible rule, but to his own will. Hence, it is evident that a heretic who obstinately disbelieves one article of faith is not prepared to follow the teaching of the church in all things. Therefore, it is clear that such a heretic, with regard to one article, has no faith in the other articles, but only a kind of opinion in accordance with his own will." End quote. False doctrines as a new theology. Strictly speaking, then, we must insist that the Church's doctrines have not been altered in any way since the day of its founding. In recent decades, however, the Church's authoritative public representatives, on the whole, have not been faithful to their duty of believing and teaching those truths. The effect, of course, has been catastrophic. At the present time, it is not uncommon to find practicing Catholics, quote-unquote, who find the Church's traditional liturgy repugnant, who do not know the Hail Mary, and who do not believe that Jesus Christ is present in the Blessed Sacrament, or even that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. We must pray with great fervor for Our Lady to deliver us from this debacle. In the meantime, it is of the greatest importance to understand whence the poisoned waters have been flowing for the past 60 years. An array of tenets of a new theology was proposed at the Second Vatican Council, all quite contrary to Catholic faith, especially regarding religious liberty, collegiality, and ecumenism, being clear infiltrations of the revolutionary Freemasonic platforms of liberty, equality, and fraternity. To continue with the example named above, regarding the necessity of belonging to the Catholic Church for salvation, we find a host of deadly errors subtly insinuated in the Council's document on the Church, Lumen Gentium. Through diabolically ambiguous language, the true faith is put in question, leaving poorly informed Catholics vulnerable to deadly errors. Particularly, that our Lord's true church on earth is not exclusively identified with the Catholic Church, but rather is present also in all its essential elements in non-Catholic sects, that these sects are used by the Spirit of Christ as a means of salvation, having an apostolic mission of their own, and that these sects share with the Catholic Church the same Christian faith, and an at least imperfect communion. All of these false notions, implicitly admitted by Lumen Gentium's loose terminology, will be given explicit expression after the Council. Rediscovering the true faith. Let us make a brief summary of the Church's true view of ecumenism. As the Catechism of the Council of Trent teaches, Part 1, Article 9, all false religions come from the father of lies. Interfaith prayer gatherings are a relatively new phenomenon, but in essence they amount to nothing less than false worship, forbidden by the first commandment. In this broader context, and from the time of the apostles, the voice of the Church has been clear. Be ye not partakers with them, for ye were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk ye as the children of light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5:6. Bear not the yoke together with unbelievers, for what participation hath justice with injustice, Or what fellowship hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath the faithful with the unbelievers? 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. We also have this moving injunction of Pope Paul IV to the Catholics in England, written at a time when they were suffering the most severe persecutions unless they agreed to go from time to time to the public churches. Great has been the grief of our mind for the tribulations and calamities you have constantly undergone for your adherence to the Catholic faith. And as we understand that these trials are becoming more severe at present, our affliction is increased exceedingly, for we are informed that you are compelled under the most grievous penalties to go to the churches of heretics, to frequent their meetings, and be present at their sermons. Indeed, we are fully persuaded that you who, with so much fortitude and constancy, have hitherto undergone almost infinite miseries, that ye might walk without stain in the law of the Lord, will never consent to be defiled by communicating with those who have forsaken the divine law. Nevertheless, urged by the zeal of our pastoral duty and from paternal solicitude with which we daily labor for the salvation of your souls, we are forced to admonish and conjure you that on no account you go to the churches of heretics or hear their sermons or join in their rites, lest you incur the wrath of God. For it is not lawful for you to do such things without dishonoring God and hurting your own souls. At any time and under any circumstances, any participation whatsoever in interfaith endeavors would be the matter of a grave sin. Pope Pius XI condemned the modern ecumenical movement from its very beginning in the early 1900s, calling it a threat to the foundations of the Catholic faith. He wrote in his encyclical, Mortalium Animos, "There is but one way in which the unity of Christians may be fostered, and that is by furthering the return to the one true Church of Christ of those who are separated from it. While you may hear many non-Catholics loudly preaching brotherly communion in Jesus Christ, yet not one will you find to whom it ever occurs with devout submission to obey the vicar of Christ in his capacity of teacher or ruler." Meanwhile, they assert their readiness to treat with the Church of Rome, but on equal terms, as an equal with an equal. This being so, it is clear that the Apostolic See can by no means take part in these assemblies, nor is it in any way lawful for Catholics to give such enterprises their encouragement or support. If they did so, they would be giving countenance to a false Christianity quite alien to the one Church of Christ. Bishop George Hay of Scotland was already warning Catholics against the errors of ecumenism in the late 19th century before they had given shape to the Protestant movement of that name. All communication in matters of religion with those separated from the Church of Christ is a very great crime in the sight of God and strictly forbidden by his holy law as being intrinsically evil in its own nature, because such communication implies an approbation of their false doctrine. We are obliged to love the persons of those who are engaged in false religions, to wish them well, and to do them good. But we are expressly forbidden all communication in their religion, that is, in their false tenets and worship. This would include going to the places of worship, hearing their sermons, joining in their prayers, partaking of their sacraments, or other divine office whatsoever. Father Francis Connell, author of Outlines of Moral Theology, is no great authority in the Church, but he explains the Catholic teaching very succinctly and in a way that modern ears can readily understand. A Catholic would do something gravely wrong if he played the organ, sang, etc., at a public non-Catholic service, even though he were in extreme need of material support, or even if he were commanded to take part by the officials of army or navy, or likewise if he were to join in the prayers or hymns at a non-Catholic public service. Even when there is nothing erroneous expressed in these hymns or prayers, it is wrong to take part actively in such a service because the only religious body authorized by Christ to conduct public services is his one true church. Distinguishing black from white. Opposed to this authentic Catholic teaching, however, we find in the Second Vatican Council's decree on ecumenism, also called Unitatis Redintegratio, this scandalous exhortation, which flies straight in the face of Pope Pius XI's condemnation. 4. The Sacred Council exhorts all the Catholic faithful to recognize the signs of the times and to take an active and intelligent part in the work of ecumenism. 8. During ecumenical gatherings, it is allowable, indeed desirable, that Catholics should join in prayer with their separated brethren. 15. Some worship in common, communicatio in sacris, is not only possible but to be encouraged. 9 and 18. It is the Council's urgent desire that every effort should be made toward the gradual realization of this unity, especially by prayer and by fraternal dialogue, where each can deal with the other on an equal footing. Importance of maintaining clarity about the faith. It has been to our great loss and danger that Catholic catechesis has been so neglected in recent years. Had more Catholics been properly instructed and on their guard, they might have recognized these novel teachings of the Council for what they are, condemned errors. As Catholics, we are bound to the authentic Catholic rule of faith, particularly as defined by the Church's extraordinary magisterium, a charism which the Pope and bishops at the Second Vatican Council expressly declined to exercise. Where we find the documents of that council departing from the Church's constant prior teaching, such as occurs regarding ecumenism, we must hold fast to the traditional faith. Thank you very kindly to Mr. Hanisch for writing that excellent article. And I would like to conclude, as we've been doing for the last several hundred episodes, for mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, where the topic of discussion is RPM. RPM is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before, my niece was 8, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she's a comprehensive genius, thanks to God's grace working through RPM and the hard work of Brielle and her entire family. Imagine how frustrated you would be if you couldn't tell your family what you wanted for breakfast, let alone what your hopes and dreams were. Communication is a human right. Non-speakers who haven't broken through to open communication via RPM, sometimes called typing to talk or spelling to communicate, they're all basically the same thing. When they haven't broken through, they're stuck in this prison. We need to help them get out. And just as sign language was a revolutionary breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate for the deaf, RPM is doing the same thing for non-speakers. So please spread the word far and wide. Tell it to everyone you know, because if you don't know a non-speaker, you probably will at some point in your life. Thank you so much for listening to the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, and please tune in again tomorrow. I'll be here. You be here too. Goodbye, and God love you.